Welcome to Breaking News to Trading Moves. Today, we're opening our discussion with a capital allocation announcement from ON Semiconductor and what it tells us about the rest of the chip landscape.
That's right. We're not just looking at a press release here. We're really trying to examine the core signal that's embedded in this move.
Dan, it is a very clear signal.
It's a definitive statement from management about their confidence, their view on future cash flow.
Absolutely. So the foundational event is ON Semiconductor's commitment to a $6 billion share repurchase plan.
A very large number.
It is. And crucially, they've set a long runway for this. It's set to run from 2026 all the way through 2028.
And it replaces their current program when it expires. So this is forward-looking.
When a company projects that kind of stability 3 years out, well, it gives you a lot to analyze.
For you, the learner, that time horizon is really the key. It's not some reaction to short-term weakness. It's a projection of long-term cash generation certainty.
Okay, so we're going to explore how investors might process this. We'll focus on how this decision helps identify some likely winners and, of course, the companies that might face some new questions.
Just in the semiconductor space.
Exactly. And the main message from management seems crystal clear. They have immense confidence in their ability to generate cash, and they think the best use of that capital right now is aggressive buybacks.
They're signaling maturity, financial discipline, which I think leads us right into our first category.
It does.
So our first category of winners, let's call them category one, the cash return chip makers.
Okay, and the rationale here seems pretty straightforward.
It's intuitive. When a major player like Onin commits to a multi-year, multi-billion-dollar program, it just, well, it naturally redirects investor focus.
Away from pure growth stories.
Exactly. Away from those chasing growth at all costs and toward other semiconductor firms that already prioritize returning capital to shareholders.
And of course, the company itself, ON Semiconductor, that's ticker ON, is the number one beneficiary of its own move.
You'd hope so.
Right. I mean, the whole point is to reduce the total shares outstanding. This kind of financial engineering gives you stronger earnings per share support, and it can really bolster the stock's valuation, especially on market pullbacks.
And if you look for parallels, you almost immediately land on Texas Instruments.
TXN.
Ticker TXN. They are the established benchmark here. They're known for a decades-long track record of buybacks, of rising dividends.
So ON's move just makes that whole story look better.
It reinforces the entire cash machine business model. TXN operates in these mature, high-margin markets. Analog, embedded processing. They've proven that disciplined capital allocation, not just massive spending, is a viable path.
So ON's announcement really gives TXN's existing strategy a bit of a fresh tailwind.
It really does.
That distinction, focusing on stability over just pure CapEx, that leads us to our second group of winners. Category two, the auto and power-focused chip players.
Right, because Onin Semiconductor explicitly tied its confidence to expected demand in automotive and industrial power markets.
This is a vital connection to make.
It is. The whole reason they feel they can commit cash out to 2028 is because they see durability in those end markets.
Driven by macro trends.
You got silicon carbide or SiCSy. In electric vehicles, you've got robust demand for industrial automation. These are multi-year trends. This confidence helps validate the strength of those specific verticals.
So if ON is validating the market, its peers in the same space get to benefit from that halo effect.
They do.
NXP comes to mind immediately, ticker NXPI.
A foundational player.
For sure.
Yeah.
In the auto chip supply chain, they're focused on in-vehicle networking, security, power management. If the street starts to emphasize the reliability of that whole vehicle and power story, which ON's buyback is signaling.
Then NXP is positioned perfectly to catch that lift.
Exactly.
And we should also include Broadcom here, ticker AVGO.
Now, they're known more for networking and infrastructure chip.
True, but AVGO shares that same philosophy of strong capital returns. They already run a very aggressive model of returning cash to shareholders, both dividends and buybacks.
So they fit into that quality cash generator basket.
Perfectly. A trader looks at Onin's decision and sees that this whole capital allocation thesis is getting stronger. And that makes AVGO a natural fit for the theme.
Okay, but now we have to talk about the trade-off.
There's always a trade-off.
Every dollar they earmark for a buyback is a dollar that isn't available for, say, building new factories.
Or expanding tool capacity.
Right. And this creates a strategic pressure point, which defines our first group of, let's call them the losers, or at least those facing headwinds.
Category one losers. Equipment suppliers tied to new fab spending.
This is the financial dilemma.
It's critical. The decision to prioritize shareholder returns implies a more disciplined, maybe even restrained, capacity expansion.
So if more chip makers, especially Empower and Analog, start funneling billions into buybacks,
then the future upside for equipment demand starts to look less aggressive than, you know, what the market might be pricing in.
So we need to look at the companies whose growth models really depend on that capacity expansion.
Like Applied Materials, ticker AMAT.
AMAT is fundamentally linked to wafer fab equipment cycles. If the power chip makers, who are their customers, maintain disciplined CapEx,
because they're busy returning cash to shareholders,
then the benefit that AMAT was expecting from those specific customers might prove to be, well, less robust than the most bullish forecasts.
And this extends directly to Lam Research, LRCX.
Same dynamic.
Very similar. LRCX specializes in deposition and etch tools. Their growth hinges on new tool orders, on the rate of new fab construction.
So if those incremental tool orders from power and analog customers slow down, or just don't accelerate as fast as hoped,
the perceived growth runway for Lam can contract. It forces investors to reevaluate the timelines for capital investment across the entire sector.
That spending dilemma leads us neatly into our final category,
yep.
The ones really under the spotlight.
Category two, losers. The heavy investment chipmakers.
The pressure point here is pretty simple. Once your peer announces a headline-grabbing $6 billion return program,
investors in your stock are going to start asking questions.
Why isn't our company committing to something similar?
Exactly. And this creates a direct contrast for companies that are currently deep in massive investment cycles. Let's look at Intel, ticker INTC.
Then what they call investment mode.
An intense multi-year investment mode. They are pouring billions into building new foundry capacity in the U.S., in Europe. It's a huge long-term strategic play.
But in the short term.
In the immediate context of Amin's announcement, Intel's strategy requires cash to flow out the door for years. And that just makes it inherently less attractive to a capital return-focused trader.
And we also have Micron, right? Ticker MU.
MU is another one. Their business model is highly cyclical.
All about the volatile swings of the memory market, and it's incredibly CapEx intensive.
Their whole narrative is about timing those cycles perfectly, which demands enormous capital spending during the upswings.
So by its very nature, it can't deliver that steady shareholder yield that a company like Amin is now promising.
No. And when the market shifts to emphasize stability and immediate cash return, the volatility and the cash demands of Micron's business, well, it creates a clear negative contrast.
So for you, the learner, the simple, actionable framework here is what?
It seems to be that the market is currently rewarding financial discipline. It suggests looking for relative strength in cash-generative semiconductor names.
The ones with clear, long-term buyback policies, especially on pullbacks.
Names like TXN and AVGO. And conversely, it suggests exercising greater selectivity around companies that still need extensive, multi-year spending.
Or those that rely on perfect market cycles to justify their valuations.
Right. That includes some of the CapEx-focused equipment and memory players.
That really synthesizes the central issue. This whole commitment to capital returns versus growth spending, it really reflects a management team's outlook on their sector's maturity.
And their competitive positioning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
An aggressive, long-term buyback plan tells you that management thinks their position is secure and maybe that their stock is currently undervalued. A powerful statement beyond just a balance sheet transaction.
This is not financial advice or buy or sell recommendations. This is purely the opinion of the author.